This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, only on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM.
Yeah. I never go in wrong congregation, boy. Boy, 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 boy. Rastaman are born vegan, so
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Football Association, Burger King, City of Hope, Fine Threads, Jazz in the Gardens, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, Click, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, NRG Nutrition, Percy's Out Games, Pindertal, Printmasters, and Tropical Gyros.
Mythology and illusion, I'll be always burning. Corruption and confusion will be shown in the ash bin.
You've got it locked and loaded to the February 26th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. It's Wednesday. It's hump day, middle of the week. And we're going to get over the hump together. We got a lot to talk about. It's an open line Wednesday, obviously. And, of course, we got some special guests throughout the show. All right. In short order, we'll be talking with the folks from the Cannabis Forum that's coming up. All right. The Truth About Cannabis, the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association and the Medical Association of the Bahamas. And it's going down tomorrow. And you definitely want to check that out. All right, and I'll tell you more about that. That's coming up on the flip side of the break. But right now, we got to start the show off. It's Wednesday. Nothing like starting the show off with a nice cold Click. So I got to welcome, you know, Stefan Rohl from Click. He's the brand rep for Click. Good to see you. And we got a big party to talk about, man. And I have no problem talking about it because I'm a hard Saxon. So it's only right that you celebrate the greatness that is.
Are you one of those Saxons that's really a Saxon, or are you just a Saxon because you're all one for sure?
No. Long time Saxon. I've been there with the cut skin. I've been there in the Saxon, had the most points across the board. The body comes second instead of in the parade. That's how much Saxon I am.
Well, it don't matter if you're a long term Saxon or you're just a Saxon from yesterday. Happy to be here today. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Thanks for having Click here. And yeah, we're talking about Victory Fest, so...
And nothing goes better with Junkanoo than Click.
Yeah,
you know. Cowbells.
Yeah, you know, Click is the bear Junkanoo. We're the bear of the Bahamas. We're also the bear Junkanoo. So, Click, cowbell, that's how it goes.
All roads lead to Smuggler Square. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. Obviously celebrating the 2024 and 2025 Boxing Day and New Year's champion, the Saxons with Click.
Yeah.
And you got a great party, too. You got the Playhouse DJs, Big of the Big Out and the crew, man, Reds, mm-hmm. my whole crew. All right, you got Lil Giant and DJ Tank and performing live Fan Show and D-Max. So that's a party right there.
Yeah, that's a party. And then you'll top it off with a nice rush out by the Saxon superstars themselves. So, I mean, what more than that can you want in one evening of celebration of Junkanoo, of culture and all that goodness? So, yeah.
And it's a great spot down there at Smuggler Square, too, mm-hmm. because it's all right there in one area.
Yeah.
You can party, you can have a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
Click readily available.
Click is going to be on at every corner of the place, and I'm going to throw a little hint out to everybody. Come a little early, you might get a free treat, courtesy of Click. But yeah, Saturday, March 1st, Smuggler Square, gates open at 8 p.m. Like Naughty mentioned, we got... Playhouse DJs, we got DJ Pressure, we got Tank, we got Fan Sean, D-Mac. So we're going to bring everybody out. We're going to have a good time. We're going to celebrate the Saxons. We're going to celebrate culture. We're going to celebrate what it is to be Bahamian, what it is to, when you hear that, doom-doom, to just automatically tap your feet and start swinging. So we know what that is as a Bahamian, so we're going to celebrate all of that. Like Mr. Francis, Wola Francis said earlier today, it doesn't matter if you are Valley Boys, Saxons, Roots, One Family, even a scrap group. Come out because we're celebrating culture. We're not just celebrating Saxons. Yeah, we're celebrating the Saxons too, but we're also celebrating culture. So
Junkanoo
make sure,
and Click, two big parts
so
of the
make
culture.
Sure come out and let's celebrate culture and let's celebrate the Saxons. So I just want to mention that gates open at 8 p.m. It's $15 before 10, so make sure to try getting the place early. We have some special awards and some recognition that we're going to do, so I want as many people to be witness to this. I think Click is going to show what it is to be a corporate sponsor in these cultural events, so make sure to come out early. Come out and celebrate our dynamic people in Junkanoo.
But I think, you know, Connect must be commended, obviously, you know, taking it there. I mean, it's good to have a post-Junkanoo celebration, like you say, where everybody could just come together, celebrate the culture.
Yeah.
And regardless who won, we'd be celebrating that group. So it just happens to be shots in this go round. So
we could still be on the sideline round about our group course, win, and we thought how to
over a nice score, Click, it goes no better.
Yeah. Make sure. And make sure definitely drink responsibly. You know, Click always reminds patrons to drink responsibly. But I also want to add, you know, something that's Click is doing to this event. In previous years, we contributed 50% of the door proceeds to the Junkanoo group. After some internal discussions, we're now contributing 100% of the door proceeds.
That's good stuff.
To the Junkanoo groups. So this year, Saxons is taking home 100% of the door proceeds. So please come early. If you're a Saxons, if you are a supporter of Bohemian culture, if you're a supporter of Junkanoo, come out early so we can support what it is that these Junkanoo groups do. You know, they mentioned earlier again today, I'm going to reference it again. They mentioned that, you know, sometimes the money that they spend or the money that they get back from winning these parades is a percentage of what they actually do spend.
Into making and producing the costumes and
so
the parade.
Whatever we can do to support Click, Commonwealth Brewery is going to do. And we ask that you help us by coming out early Saturday, March 1st, 8 p.m., Smuggler Square.
That's right. Smuggler Square, March 1st. That's Saturday night. All right? Right downtown. You can't miss it. You got Click in for the fact that they're on ice right now, so I'm understanding. All right? That's how cold they can be. All right? Saxons going to be in full effect. If you love all things Bohemian, Junkanoo, Click, the Saxons, or whatever your Junkanoo group is. Great music by the Playhouse DJs, Lil Giant, DJ Tank, DJ Pressure, performing live, Fantron and D-Mac, and then the Saxons afterwards. Come on, man.
I'm gonna throw a plug out there for the Rhythm Band. The Rhythm Band is
Strong
going to be
the Rhythm
there.
Band in the house.
They in the house. They was tuning up yesterday, and boy, I'm going to take my lunch break between on their set so I can make sure I have a good time for them. So the Rhythm Band is going to be there. Lil Giant, Pusha Junior, DJ Tank, they can close out tonight. So make sure. It ain't just about Rake and Scrape. Rake and Scrape is I love Rake and Scrape, but everything is going to be out there. So no matter what your flavor is, come out early, get your spot, get your free Click as you come in, and you're going to have a good old time.
There you go. Victory Fest this Saturday night, March 1st, Smuggler Square. Saxons, Click Bear is going to be all good. Be sure to go on out and check it out. Good stuff. Thanks for stopping by. And y'all remember, Saturday night, get there early. They say they might have a thing or two for you if you get there early, all right? So, you know, go enjoy yourself. Do it responsibly with Click Bear and the Saxon Superstars. Quick break, clip side of the break. We'll continue the first hour of the Wednesday, February 26th edition of Talking Heads, which continues right after this.
And by every means, we just not give up, or live up now. You would stop killing yourselves, now when the Gideon start, man, I go need your strength. Live up now, you would stop killing yourselves, now when the Gideon start, man, I go need ya. Cause now is not the time to sleep or turn the other cheek. Cause the wicked in a Babylon slew ya if you're weak. I miss a hope, my cause, oh ya.
With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video, want to step out and look great, then fine threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place, is your place, is your place.
The KFC Chicken Experts have done it again with the new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich. Featuring a large 100% premium 120-gram white meat filet topped with cheddar cheese, smoky bacon, lettuce, tomato, and tangy red onions. All drizzled with ranch sauce and served on a toasted brioche bun. Choose original recipe or spicy, but don't wait. This mouthwatering masterpiece is only here for a limited time and only at your favorite KFC. The new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, $134.20 a roll. Felt, £15, $16.50, £30, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John Shoes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I never go in wrong congregation. Boy, 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 boy. Rastaman are born pagan, so I'll never go where the pagans go. Never do what the heathens do. Already by the guidance, I'll never say what they daddy just say. For Emperor Selassie, I trust and obey. Cross the words of his substance. I'll never go where the pagans go. Never do what the heathens do. Cause trust the foreggy by the guidance. I'll never say what the wicked art say. Neither will I walk in the council no day. Alias be no guide. Mythology and illusion, I'll be always burning. Corruption and confusion will be shown in the admin. Careful, arrest the man with your false doctrine, your false teaching. Oh, what a sin thing. Justice in disguise, it's salvation that is seeking from the children.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, February 26th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. And like I said, in this portion of the show, boy, we kicked it off with Kalik and now we're moving to cannabis. Boy, I tell you, we're running the full gambit today. All right, but I got a guest in studio with me, The Truth About Cannabis Forum. It's going down tomorrow, February 27th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Harry C. Moore Library, University of the Bahamas. And, of course, I think it's an important event, important step forward if we're going to properly legalize and decriminalize cannabis in the country. And it's going to play a role, you know, where legislation draws it up. Obviously, you know, on hand will be Dr. Marcus Cooper for the Medical Association, along with Dr. Marvin Smith from the Pharmaceutical Association. And obviously, Dr. Smith, no stranger to the show, a.k.a. the Big Chief. So we'll talk to him outside of the 5 o'clock. All right, and guest in studio, Mr. Yuri Kemp. How are you, man?
Oh, it's good, Naughty. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Tell us a little bit more, Mike. I'm glad you're here, man. Like I told you, this is a step in the right direction. As you know, I have lobbied for a long time for a proper cannabis bill in the country and legalization and decriminalization for medicinal, sacramental, recreational. So obviously everything is a process. Mm-hmm. You got to take it in the right direction, and we're dealing with medicinal, which is very important. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, this is the kind of forum that we need to have. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people better understand, you know, the benefits of cannabis medicinally, considering the opioid epidemic globally, and the benefits of more holistic, you know, treatments but can be derived from cannabis.
Yes, yes. And the Pharmaceutical Association and the Medical Association, they are in lockstep with the government on medicinal cannabis only. They have no interest in recreational use, and they have no interest in sacramental use. And they're not going to get into Shanta Knowles' business with regard to the, you know, the regular street dealers on the streets. So they're concerned about your health. They're really concerned about the health of their patients. And that's what this forum is really going to be about. And then also discuss some issues around the legislation that there may be some misunderstandings about and some miscues. And so they want to go into some detail about the legislation, particularly the regulations, because apparently they have not been allowed to have a discussion on the regulations, and that's going to be important moving forward, because the legislation is one thing, but the regulations, where actually how this is going to be rolled out and how people are actually going to participate in dispensing medical cannabis is going to be a significant step moving forward.
And all obviously parties concerned and licensee holders and so on and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, we do have Dr. Marvin Smith from the Pharmaceutical Association, and we're going to welcome him on right now. Dr. Smith, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to Mr. Kemp.
Good afternoon, Dr. Yeah. Smith. Yes, sir.
You know, with the most respect, I'm keeping a straight face when I say Dr. Smith in this capacity right now, because you know I want to say, it's happening there, Big Chief.
Pre-5 o'clock is Dr. Smith. After 5 o'clock
is the Big Chief. All right, what's going on, Dr. Smith? Please let us know the role that the Pharmaceutical Association is going to play on in the Truth About Cannabis Forum tomorrow night.
Well, I think the biggest thing for us is to really provide some clarity to the Bahamian people on what their health care options are going to look like in terms of treatment opportunities and the availability of proper medicinal cannabis products under what the act was passed. Now, the regulations and some other things are coming out, and I think Mr. Kemp is correct. And let me preface this by saying this, okay? And I've said this on your show every time I've come on. I've never come on to any show to speak about something as the president of the association speaking my own personal views. We have a white paper. We have a position paper that's been vetted and approved at our organization that outlines what the members have empowered the executive to represent them on. All right? My personal views are probably a lot different than most people think. Okay? It's important for us to understand, to remember that once the government made their decision that they were going to take on a medical regime, that right is a game changer, all right? And I said it on your show and a number of other shows, Naughty. And let me thank you for giving us a platform to talk about these sort of things.
No problem, my pleasure.
Talk about politics and who got this contract and who do stuff like that, right? But those aren't the things that impact everyday people in the country. The issue for us is this. We have to make sure that if this is a medical process that's being regulated, that every part of that process is geared toward the optimal care of patients. That's the core goal. Anything that deals with medicine, physicians, nurses, pharmacists, regulators, whatever it is, right? And it seems to me like a lot of what's happening is the emphasis being put on who can get a license, who ain't getting a license. First of all, if you're not in healthcare, you shouldn't have a license. Okay? You shouldn't have a license. That's the first thing. All right? That's not a popular thing to say for a lot of folks, but the fact of the matter is when we're dealing with issues that impact patient care, those issues need to be dealt with people who have a responsibility, not just for themselves, but to regulatory bodies for patient care. All right? That's why anybody could tell you, come by me, I can mix something up for you and get this to you and you can take it and drink it. But if something happens, you can't call the police and complain to them. Because they ain't licensed and they're not under any particular board or council or authority. But medicinal cannabis, the whole concept of how this product is going to be incorporated into healthcare needs to be done under the auspices of healthcare bodies, your medical and dental council, your pharmacy council, your health professions council. These are the things that are set up to protect the consumer. And that includes who get a license. It's not just a money thing. All right? And we're going to talk really tomorrow about some of the technicalities of why this is critical, what we are asking the government to look at. We've written to the minister twice. We wrote him in September. We wrote him in November. We've yet to receive a response from the ministry. We wrote the minister and the PS. So the council didn't get it. Okay? We need to have these discussions. All right? Because at the end of the day, these things will impact the care that people get. All right? We got to stop looking at everything from a dollar standpoint first, and then worry about whether it helps patients later. And quite frankly, what's happening right now is exactly that. So we're going to have a real discussion on that. And I make no apologies for it. I don't care who get upset. And don't tell us both, oh, we trying to be hoggish or we trying to keep people out of stuff. This is our profession. The government made a decision that they wanted to move this particular product into our profession. All right? And so I said at day one, if you want to do recreational, if you want to do Sacramento, whatever, take them out of pharmacies. You don't need them there. I don't know any pharmacy that wants to compete with Babuki and Barabi selling weed on the corner. Because you can't compete with them. You'll never be able to compete with them. All right? But if you bring it into a medical regimen, it needs to be done properly, Naughty. And we're still making these stumbles. We're still making these elemental, intrinsic mistakes that our politicians, our leaders, let me not call them politicians, because they elected officials now, but they ain't politicians, that our government should be, quite frankly, smarter than this.
Okay, I got a question for you off the text lines. Naughty, good afternoon. Just so I can understand, can your guest please tell me who will be allowed to grow it and who will be allowed to dispense it? If those are the same people, we will have an issue and it seems like a money grab. Kindly have your guest answer those questions, please.
Okay. With all due respect to your text, Naughty, that's someone who is either grossly ignorant about how the medical and pharmaceutical industries are run, all right? Or somebody who just texting you just to not make sense, okay? Let's be clear about this, okay? Medical schools educate physicians. Pharmacy schools educate pharmacists. Nobody says that that's a conflict of interest, okay? Medical companies make medical devices. Pharmaceutical companies, which have and hire pharmacists and scientists, also make pharmaceuticals, and the pharmacies dispense them, and pharmacists dispense and counsel about them. Clearly not a conflict of interest, because expert things require expert people, all right? Nobody says that when you go to Friendly Ford and you buy a Ford from Friendly Ford, let's say Friendly Ford, when you go to a Ford dealership, because I don't know if Friendly Ford will pay you. When you go to the Ford dealership, right, and they tell you if you buy a car from here, if you want it to get service, you have to bring it back to our Ford-approved mechanic. Nobody says that's a conflict of interest. They train to fix those cars. Pharmacists are trained to deal with this. And even so, right now, we have almost half of our pharmacists in the country now are participating in a regional training program specifically for medicinal cannabis from the highest Caribbean institute, CPAR, all right, approved by the University of the West Indies and the government of Jamaica. They're doing that to make sure that they have proper expertise for something that requires an expert. So anybody that tells you that needing an expert for something that requires expertise is a money grab, quite frankly, ain't using the front part of their brain.
Yeah. We got a call. Let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hello?
Talking Heads.
Hey, that's me, Naughty.
Yes.
Good day to your guest, Tim. So you get Mr. Camp and Mr. Smith in there?
Yes, Papa. What's going on?
Everything cool, thank God for life.
All the time.
With the marijuana thing, right? I mean, I know if you could remember, and maybe I may be wrong, so please don't. I was saying that before the last general election, we had all two of these leaders, the former prime minister and this prime minister, saying that they was to legalize the use of marijuana, not just for medical use, but for anyone who over 18, and especially the Rasta for their religion. But it sounds like I hear, Mr. Camp, you say the government ain't interested in the sacramental or the
No, I said the Pharmaceutical Association, the Medical Association, they aren't interested in all the other things around cannabis. They're not interested in the sacraments, and they're not interested in...
Okay.
Yeah,
that's Mr. Smith, them, who you mean in? That's him, the next guest?
I'm here, Papa.
Yeah, I know you're there, Mr. Smith. I'm talking to Mr. Kiam. Mr. Kiam.
Yes, sir?
You're saying that's Mr. Smith, them, who are not interested?
Yeah, they're not interested in all the... They're only interested in the medicinal cannabis for right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they can't point no fingers at them. I got to stay for the politician. They promise people who might be in use. So what are they saying? That people who still using marijuana for recreation who are over 18... That's gonna have to continue doing it, break the law.
That's the government's business, to be honest with you. The Medical Association and the Pharmaceutical Association, they're really only concerned about your health.
Yeah,
primarily.
I understand that. So I say, and I can't blame them. I can blame the government. I think the government could get this new day government could get voted because of that, because they promised people that. So people who are concerned about the use of marijuana who are over 18 for medical use, or not just medical use, for recreation, different reason. I think they should take it seriously, because when it was the web shop time for the web shop owner and people who want to gamble or buy a number, the government thought it was important for them to have the rights to do it. So people got to take it serious when it comes down to this, because this is complicated, it's problematic the way how they're talking about everything right now. And I guess they just ain't reached the stage for the person who went to recreation, and they just talking medical now, and I behind the eight ball. Mr. Neary, I always wanted to say hi to you and say I like how you stand up in the office of the Prime Minister against Simon Wilson just doing your job. Now, Mr. I calling you Neary. That's your first name. Your name is Camp, right?
Right, Mr. Camp.
Mr. Camp, listen here. I sound like you're still with The Guardian. I glad we have reporters who will follow up and come back and say, well, yes, I find out what the government was saying is so, and this is the way. So the Bahamian people could benefit. But the last time when you asked the question and the way he conducted himself, I don't think it was right. No repercussion. It's like we ain't hear nothing. He was punished for dealing with. But I want you to know, Bahamian people support you for doing your job. Now, the camp name is being brought up again inside the office of the Prime Minister. I want to know who carrying that story from The Guardian, and if you still go to the office of the Prime Minister, maybe if you could have carried that story, where in Exuma it sounded like they was doing all kind of foolishness up there, wickedness, corruption. So we thank God for people like you, Mr. Camp. Keep up the good work, and I thank The Guardian for allowing you to continue to sound like you're still working there. Simon Wilson, he turned out to be a big disgrace. And I listened to the leader of the opposition, the Free National Movement. He sounded like he said someone should be fired for what happened in Exuma, for what this deal, what they tried to do, what wasn't do the right way. The local government in Exuma didn't know nothing about it. So if it's his advisor, Fitzgerald, or whosoever, they need to be fired. Keep up the good work.
There you go, Bubba. All right. Any comments, gents?
If I could make one clarification. All right?
Go ahead.
It is not that the professional association either support or don't support recreational or sacramental use. All right? Professional organizations don't comment on matters of religion. So it wouldn't be our place to comment on whether sacramental use is or not. All right? And certainly, as a professional organization, if we believe a product is a medicine, we could never support a recreational regimen for something that we believe should control medicine. No more than we could say, make Percocet or Vicodin or Xanax available recreationally. The two things don't marry, all right? Once you assign it as a controlled substance, our professional obligation dictates what our stance on it should be, all right?
Yuri, any comment?
No, that's it. Dr. Smith said it perfectly clear. And I think that's what the standard is on the medical association as well. I mean, they just want to keep this straight down the middle. They don't want to get in all the other, you know, back and forth and all of the rigmarole and the political spin to all of this. They're really only concerned about your health and how they're going to administer medical cannabis to
their
patients.
This is how we need to look at it. We need to look at it with the medicinal portion and just strictly keep it medicinal. Mm-hmm. Then let's look sacramental. Then there's the recreational. Mm-hmm. And then you have all the other portions of it after that. You know, how will public forums assist with the legislation being crafted to how it needs to be? So all Bahamians have a play in this and a say in this.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, these are the steps that have to be taken. So I appreciate the clarity that Dr. Smith is bringing, you know, to the conversation here today. And I appreciate the clarity you're bringing, because obviously folks are interested. Definitely, if the medicinal portion of any kind of legislation moving forward, and speak to your interest or interest you, or you have questions in that regard, then this is the forum for you.
Yes.
Because obviously your questions are going to be answered. Now, Dr. Smith, can you tell us a little bit more about, briefly, how some of dispensing of the medicinal marijuana will go? Because obviously you and I have talked before. And obviously, we need professionals to know exactly how much to give a patient, which strain to give a patient. Obviously, you know, there are different strains, you know, for different ailments, so on and so forth. So I'm trying for Joe Public to get to understand that it's the same as moving forward when this gets crafted. It will be the same as when you prescribe Motrin 800.
Exactly.
You know what you're prescribing for, you know what the dosage is, and you know which doctor prescribed it, and so on and so forth.
And so I think people have to get out of their head that the the concept of medical cannabis is, hey, we can tell you go smoke these joints, smoke this 3 times a day, and whatever, so and so. It doesn't just work that way. Products that come in have to have a declared and quality assured potency. We need to be able to dose these sort of things, all right? Because remember that what we're saying is that this particular product in a particular dosage, a particular strength, if you use it this amount of times, this will give you this effect, all right? And so we're not just people have to move away from this. You're not going to get the quote unquote dispensary experience that you may be familiar with somewhere in the U.S. or even some places within Europe, all right? Where you go in and you say, hey, I want this strain and I want that and so on. So that's not the way this works. You have to see a physician. It has to be prescribed. The product itself has to be registered and approved, all right? Whether that approval is going to be a pharmaceutical-grade product that's being made into a pharmaceutical-grade product. We have inhalers, we have tablets, we have different things. Whether it's CBD oil that has a distinct potency, and you're told to give this amount of drops or whatever, whether it's going to be used in a vape form, they're going to be dosed products, all right? And I'm not saying that that won't involve some natural products, but those are going to have to be tested, and you have to know what the actual potency of whatever strain it is you're using, whatever type of product you're using, whatever formulation it comes in, whether it's a tea, whether it's a liquid, whether it's a lozenge, whatever, all right? These are medicines, and that's the way that you're going to that's how we're really going to be asked to provide these products to patients who need them. The other thing is when you look at the list of diseases, all right? The list of diseases are going to be things that require you to be seen by a physician to be properly diagnosed and properly prescribed. And I think they should get out their head that they can be able to go to their friend who's a doctor and say, hey, but just write me up for X, Y, Z. There needs to be proper things in place that make sure that when a physician is putting you on this control product, that you should be on it and that he or she isn't doing you any harm, and vice versa, that what you're being treated for is actually what comes under those disease designations that have been already passed in law. So, you know, it's personally, I believe that a recreational regime is coming, all right? I've said this over and over again on your show, and it ain't gonna make Marvin Smith no difference, because Marvin Smith don't smoke weed, all right? I don't smoke weed, I don't do gummies, I don't do the brownies. Marijuana's just never been something that I've been even interested in trying, all right? So personally, if it comes, it don't change a single thing for me, all right? But as a professional, I have to worry about the care of my patients. So I need to make sure that what we're using now, this medical regimen, is something that is fully, it's proper, it's approved, and we're not around here guessing with people's lives. That's what's important for us.
Let's get to the phone.
And that has to be there. Not just for the dispensing part of it. That needs to be for the growing, for all of this stuff. Everything straight down the line.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Good day. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Good day, gentlemen. One quick question. I don't know how ridiculous this is going to sound, right? Is Soracet considered medicinal? And if so, should it be regulated by the Pharmaceutical Association?
All right. Thanks, Carter. We'll let Dr. Smith answer that.
Soracet, I believe that Soracet should be considered medicinal. All right? But I don't know that Soracet should be a controlled substance. See, the difference is cannabis, medical cannabis, is under our laws that have been passed, is a controlled substance. Okay? Everything that's medicinal ain't controlled. All right? Now, Soracet, I believe, works. I believe that we need to find behemoths who are involved in the development of drugs, drug development, which is a whole different side of pharmacy. And they should create something that's a viable, dosable product for Cersei, because I believe it works.
And right? I like to add to that as well, too, because people don't realize that doctors and pharmacists, they have a duty of care to their patients. And they just can't say, I'm going to give you Cersei, I'm going to give you marijuana. They have a responsibility to make sure that you actually need Cersei or marijuana. And then they have to give you the right dosage. If not, it's going to be malpractice and it's going to be negligence. And so they have a duty of care to take care of their patients. So they just can't. You just can't say, oh, Cersei should be controlled or not controlled.
All right, let me check the text line. Naughty, with all due respect to your caller, the reason why I asked about cultivation and dispensary is because in the U.S., these tasks are, in fact, separated. You can cultivate once you have a license and sell to a dispensary. The cultivator and the dispensary doesn't need to be the same. If it is, that combination seems quite problematic.
So Naughty, here's the thing. We're not talking about whether they can be the same company or those sort of things. All right. What we're saying is that at the end of the day, the system that regulates cultivation should be the same system that regulates production, packaging, dispensing, and the disposal. Right? Go back to the U.S. In the U.S., if you are creating medicine, you create them under the FDA. Okay? If you package them and license them, they're licensed under the FDA. When they distributed, they distributed with an FDA license. And once they get into a pharmacy, the board of pharmacy in each state will require that product is FDA approved for you to dispense it. Which is why everything that has not gone through the FDA is not behind the pharmacy, but on the shelf somewhere. And if you look at it, you'll see these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Okay? So we're not saying that the same company has to own the cultivation. What we're saying is that the regulatory framework needs to govern that product from cultivation straight through. Because you can't get good fruit from bad seed. That's a law of nature. You ain't got to go to farm school to figure that one out. All right? So we want to make sure that we have good product being produced in the country for us to be able to dispense. People who understand the science of this, who are the regulators, should have the tools to do that from the person who is growing. That's what we're saying. You can't have a grower running under different rules and different standards than the people who dispense it. That's all.
All right, I got another one for you. Good afternoon, Naughty. Is Dr. Smith saying that the cannabis products will likely be synthetic? Can he clarify, please?
I don't know what they mean by synthetic. Because a synthetic product is something that is a false or a substitute for what is real. Okay? Calling a product that's been processed from cannabis into a different form, synthetic, is like saying that bread is synthetic wheat. That don't make no sense. All right? So synthetic is a completely different thing. And that's why people need to come out to these public education forums so that they can educate them on these terms that they're hearing and they're using, but they're really using them wrong. All right? No one is advocating for synthetic cannabis. But pharmaceutical-grade cannabis are, yes, products that have been processed. All right? The same way you process Cersei. You don't just take your Cersei leaf and chew it up and spit it out. You boil it, and then you put a little something in it, and you might add a little sugar or add some something, lime to it. That's a part of processing it.
All right, let's...
So, we got to be careful just not to pick up these talking points from off YouTube without understanding what these things mean. Okay. And that's why I encourage everybody to come up this thing tomorrow so you can ask these questions. Because, again, you're not expected to know if you're not getting the right people to teach you.
All right? Let's get one more call in.
That's why you're holding this one.
Talking heads.
Yes, hey, Naughty, how you doing? And to your guests. I'm late to the party, but let me just ask. I want a question. And he's talking, and with all respect, he's talking about ignorance of the human people that can be cured with information, proper comprehension, and how they claim they have knowledge. But here's the thing. I would like for him to clarify, and I've been trying to put this in the heads of individuals, that the legalization that he's speaking about does not cover the decriminalization of the small amounts they have, because they will be getting those off the street. It's almost impossible, I would say, that those so-called amounts that they will be legally have will be handed to them by the pharmaceutical organization. So whatever or wherever they get them from would not meet the same quality overview as getting it from the pharmaceutical. And so because somehow they believe that the pharmaceutical access means that they could go get, you know, an ounce or 28 grams or whatever from a pharmacy, and that would be legal. You know, they'll still be buying it on the street from people they don't know what has been added, don't know where it came from or anything else, and they'll not be able to tell the police, I got this from Bubba under the tree down on Level Street. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Yali.
The HCA need to come to the forum because he explained that just as good as anybody I ever heard.
I mean, Sea Island chimes in on a lot of topics, but like I said, these are the questions that Bahamians need to know and want to know, obviously. So I think the forum is important. I think it's quite valid, quite necessary, especially if we're going to, you know, disseminate the information correctly moving forward and obviously, you know, craft proper legislation. Let's get to this other phone call. Talking Heads.
Hey, good day, Nordy, and good day to your guests.
Hey, what's happening?
Everything's all right, my brother. I'm sorry for calling so late, but Naughty, you had asked something that I was wanted to ask, and that was pertaining to the dosages and different things, like how you're going to distribute this thing, right? Because I'm trying to figure out if they have some kind of medical book with a list of diseases and different things, and telling them exactly how much marijuana is required, like, you know, how they might have in the medical field already, things that are standardized. You know, that kind of way. And I'm trying to figure out how exactly are they going to figure out the dosage. Like, I mean, like, is there a medical book? You know what I mean? Are the individuals, the pharmaceutical individuals, have they studied this thing? Or are they going to go off of something that's going to be given to them? Because like I said before, I'm trying to figure out exactly how is it that they're going to figure out what is going to be given to individuals. I forget the point I wanted to say, but Ben the brother was talking about synthetics versus real, and the person, and he said that something was a substitute when he was saying he didn't know what, like, he was trying to say. I mean, that's semantics to me in a way, because it's either real or synthetic, you know, and if it's a substitute, then it ain't the real thing. And one more thing, I think I remember it now. One time I heard a point someone had made pertaining to the when you purchase marijuana in the street, and they were saying, well, you don't know what could be in it, you know. But and like I said before, we have never had any history of any problems, you know, that kind of way. So it seems as everything is good. But the thing about it is that I'll be more worried purchasing something from a pharmacy, from a pharmaceutical company that producing and giving me marijuana. I'll be wondering what is in that marijuana, as opposed to say, well, what's in the marijuana I'm purchasing from someone in the corner, you know, that kind of way. So the point kind of like it contradicts the individual who's saying it, because we'll be more worried about what's inside this thing they're giving us from the pharmaceutical people. You understand? But like I said, Naughty, that was a good point that you had made. And I just wanted to ask the question. You probably could answer that. How exactly they could figure this out? Is there something standardized where they have a list of the different varying ailments and how you're going to, and I mean, does it vary from person to person? Or I mean, like how are you going to know if everybody is you know, I'll listen.
Good points, Squad. I'm going to let Dr. Smith and Mr. Kemp answer as well, all right? Let's get to Dr. Smith for his response on that.
So let's go back to the first thing, all right? Synthetic means synthetic. It means something that is a manufactured substitute of something that occurs naturally, okay? That the actual product is synthetic, okay? Silk is a natural product. Polyester is a synthetic fabric. Okay? Two different things. One is a naturally made product, the other one thing. The fact that we can take silk and create something from it, like a handkerchief or a tie or whatever else, doesn't change the fact that the thing you created from it is still natural. It's not polyester. When you get a product that has cannabis in it, naturally grown cannabis, and they have processed that, All right? They have created a different formulation of a natural product. Synthetic marijuana is actually stuff they create in a lab where they take the components that create THC and they literally create that in a lab and then add it to what you have. That's the two different things. See, words mean different things in science than they do in the real world. All right? So and again, if you come to forums like these, talk to the people who've been properly educated in this sort of stuff, we're more than happy to help you learn. CACA made that point. We have to educate people, all right? Because a lot of people only know the stuff that they've either been improperly told or they're ignorant about. The second big thing here is how does things dose? We're going to dose them like we dose everything else. Every drug you see out there, the doses that come because of clinical trials. They come because companies that have produced the product have had to go and create trials and use them, document them, and say, this is how this works. Here's what the side effects might be for this amount of people. Here are the people who are more at risk for side effects. And here are people, if you have these, you shouldn't even use this product. So clinical trials, all right, and then what we call treatment guidelines. And yes, they're not, you can adjust them for people based on their height, based on maybe their kidney function, liver function, based on some other things. All physicians do that, all right? There are a lot of drugs out there that are individually based. And cannabis is going to be one of those that you're going to see ranges in a lot of our standard treatment guidelines, and those are some of the things the doctors have to take into their patient's individual health status to do that. That's even more of a reason why you want properly trained people involved in healthcare with cannabis, because it's an extremely complex and technical product. And the diseases that it treats, which there's a list of diseases that are in the act, are not simple, basic, run-of-the-mill diseases. They're very, very complex diseases. All right? And so you want people who know what they're doing. Now, as for his fear about whether getting something on the street versus the thing, I would say to him that he should go to Sandlin and go and speak with the psychiatrist at Sandlin and ask them about the patients that they have seen come in who have been brought in, and some of the reasons why is because they've used tainted illicit drugs, whether it's cocaine, whether it's marijuana, whether it's heroin, but it's been tainted and cut, and things have been added, and hallucinogens have been added to the marijuana. Marijuana by itself might not be as harmful as some of these other things, but people are definitely falling victim to tainted products, all right? So, and if you trust someone on the street, if you trust Bubba on the street more than you trust your pharmacist, you got trust issues. I really can't help you, all right? Because, I mean, that's the way you feel. You know, these days people sometimes have their own opinions on stuff, and you can't move them from that, man. And that really ain't my job.
All right, let's get one more call in if we can. Mr. Bruce, we got time to get this last call in. All right, let's get this last one in. Talking Heads.
Yeah, hello, Naughty.
852, what's happening? Got to make it quick for me, bro.
Good afternoon, Dr. Smith.
Good afternoon.
I'm not going to knock his knowledge and capabilities to calculate micrograms and dosages, et cetera, but the concerns are legitimate as a pharmacist, right, doctor? But I'd just like to share this with you, my good buddy, is that there are a lot of studies on cannabis that are flawed. And, you know, correct. I don't know if most people know that. And then there are some studies that are suppressed, right? But correct. I'd like to say this, that my father was given a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, right? I think it was Motrin. And he was a heart patient. He was wearing a defibrillator, and he had this, whatever he had. But the doctor gave him that. And that was, you know, that was imbecilic. But doctors they would cover for one another. Because he was at a very prominent hospital that people brag about on the air, but I know that because I do a lot of reading, and it should have never been prescribed. But what happened was he went with my younger brother, and he went to the pharmacist, and they never did sort of ask him if he was a heart patient. But even a famous Anglican priest said that he has the same condition. Even my father and Ingram and all of his friends, and he said that he would have never taken that. But the fact that the pharmacist didn't It's not the pharmacist's fault, I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, that's why I called Dr. Archer. He spoke about this years ago, that there should be something implemented to do just what you're talking about. So he passed the prescription to the pharmacist. She didn't ask the question, but in the States, it is required that that information is put on there, that this should never be given to heart patient because it's a non-steroid, which causes fluid retention, et cetera, et cetera. My father died that night, okay? Now, as for cannabis, cannabis is not a dangerous drug, but it can cause dangerous outcomes because you could be impaired, especially smoking for the first time, so I wouldn't deny what you're saying. Because initially, when you smoke weed, people think of a recreational. It's a different effect from when you're a regular user. So what I'm saying is, you can't dismiss people who have experience in using the plant. So the fact that there will be people who will monopolize the way that they hydroponically grow this plant, it is of course a concern. And the fact that no one knows at all. Even when you put the plant under strain, which is irregular. When you put a plant in 24-hour sunlight, the plant acts irregular. So then it produces a disproportionate amount of chemical constituents.
You're correct.
This is why we need to regulate
52.
It's all a monopoly still, but you know, I'll just hang up and listen, man.
Good stuff, 52. Go ahead, Dr. Smith. I'll let you wrap up real quick.
I agree with 52. That's one of the reasons why we need regulation. We need to say to people that everything that's grown needs to be grown under certain conditions so that when we do the quality assessment of it, we're assessing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. This is exactly, and 52 is right on this. There are studies that have been suppressed. There are some that have been flawed. But that's what almost any product, at the end of the day, what we go for is peer review. You can't tell me your own fish good. Somebody else got to come and tell me that.
Well, I think we've started the conversation here. I think everybody who's interested in it needs to pick it up tomorrow night, 6 to 8 p.m., Harry C. Moore Library, University of the Bahamas. All right, the Truth About Cannabis Forum, Medical Association, Pharmaceutical Association. Appreciate both of you gentlemen contributing today and getting us caught up on this portion of it. And I'm sure, you know, as we talk more about legislation, we'll be calling you back for more input. But I appreciate you being here, man.
Thank you, Norman.
No problem, man. We'll take a quick break. Cuban Willie's numerology report coming up on the flip side of the break, brought to you by the Island Game. We'll get into the 5 o'clock hour. The news is coming up, and then we'll be talking sports. Pearl will be holding it down for you, because I ain't gonna lie, this flu killing me right now.
Just know the wicked for a righteous cause, and I would never ever see the righteous fall. But just
all I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Feeling lucky? Here's Cuban Willie's numerology report, brought to you by the Island Game.
Wepa, soy Joe Cuban Willie, and it's Wednesday, and here is my numerology report for today, brought to you by the Island Game, the 3-ball special, 3 pelotas.
248. That's your 3-ball for today. Play it and win with the Island Game. They're winning, my friend.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's, well worth the trip.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The KFC Chicken Experts have done it again with the new Kentucky Miski Chicken Sandwich, featuring a large 100% premium 120-gram white meat filet topped with cheddar cheese, smoky bacon, lettuce, tomato, and tangy red onion, all drizzled with ranch sauce and served on a toasted brioche bun. Choose original recipe or spicy, but don't wait. This mouthwatering masterpiece is only here for a limited time and only at your favorite KFC. The new Kentucky Miski Chicken Sandwich at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, hosted by Earl the Pearl. On Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Not even the dogs that piss against the walls of Babylon shall escape the wrath I come to pour. And I shall burn them and burn them continuously, for they never cease to oppress the poor.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Football Association, Burger King, City of Hope, Fine Threads, Jazz in the Gardens, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, Click, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, NRG Nutrition, Percy Zion Games, Pindertal, Printmasters, and Tropical Gyros.
Cause now is not the time to speak or turn the other cheek. Are the wicked in a Babylon so ya if you're weak? Whoa, plead my cause, oh Jah, and let me stand firm when the wicked rise against the eye. And order my steps, oh Jah, the way is dark and I'm alone.
Welcome back to it's Wednesday. Yeah, there's Pearlie in the house. You know, Naughty battled for the hour just now. He's not feeling too well. So typical Yankee fashion, you need to come close the door. You know, you need that closer to come in. So I'm here to make that closing for Naughty today. So good to be here with y'all today on a wonderful Thursday. And let's get right into it. Let's get right into today in sports history. Because I don't need Jeff calling me and telling me I ain't do it. So you know today is Wednesday. It's February 26, 2025. And today in sports history, hold on now, let's get this right. In 1935, the New York Yankees released Babe Ruth. Ruth signed with the Boston Braves for $20,000 on a share of the team's profit. In 1981, Edgar F. Kaiser Jr. purchased the Denver Broncos from Gerard and Allen Phillips. In 1985, Julius Erving of the Philadelphia 76ers became the third on the NBA all-time scoring list. In 1989, the New York Yankees announced that Tom Seaver would be their new TV sportscaster. And in 1997, the Philadelphia Legion of Doom line scored 15 points against the Ottawa Senators. And today's sports quote, "My family was so poor they couldn't afford kids. The lady next door had me." Lee Trevino, pro golf. I heard that before from Lee. I heard him when he said it. So his family is... How's everybody doing? So good to be here with y'all today. Let's get right into the home front. Let's see what's going on. Not a lot today. I hope I'm pronouncing this beautiful young lady's name properly. Jazeera is a triple qualifier. Young Bahamian athlete earns MVP trophies at Miramar. She's from St. John's. And Knowles Gibson earned third place finish at the BCA World Championships. That's the billiards. Okay. I mean, you know, we call it shooting pool. But so good. Like I said, so good to be here with you. Let's get right. You know what? We got some room. Let's get this out of the way. All right. Let's get this out of the way. NGR is nutrition. Check out our world famous smoothies, signature kiwi. Is that pronounced properly? Kiwi. Dishes, best salads, and breakfast fit for king and his queen. Open for breakfast, lunch, and now for dinner. Each order made with love. The highest quality ingredients and is nutritionally balanced. Visit any of their two locations. Old Fort Bay, open till 7:30 p.m. And West Bay Street above the Henrya Plaza on the second floor, open until 4 p.m. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at NRG Bahamas. Cools. Cools. So, did you watch the game last night? Did you see my Lakers? Did you see my superstar Luka and the Lakers? Yeah, all right. LeBron had a decent fourth quarter, but I don't want you LeBron sexuals. Get it out of touch here now, or get it out of sorts here. This Luka team now. Let's understand that. This is Luka's team. Luka's going to be the face. He's going to take all the attention, and maybe that's what LeBron wants, you know? He says, Luka's the quarterback, he's the wide receiver, and that brother can pass. All right. He didn't. He had a triple double last night. He did have a triple double. He did not. Yeah, I think he had 1 3-pointer he hit last. I think he won for 8 or something like that, if I remember correctly. He didn't shoot well from behind the arc. But he was a great facilitator. He had a beautiful behind-the-back pass, no-look pass to Austin Reeves, who hit it for a 3. He finds the open man. It's amazing how he can find the open man. He has really good eye vision, or court vision, we should say. And I was excited about the game. I'm excited about my Lakers again. Because of Luka. Let's get this right. Because of Luka Doncic. All right? Not because of the other fella. Because of Luka. Fellas are playing. The defense last night was pretty good. Especially the fourth quarter defense was really good last night. They're a lot of intensity. They're moving. They're quick. I'd just like to see a little more speed on the offensive end. All right? I like to see a little more speed on the offensive end. I think they could do a lot better. Really well like that. But I was pleased with my Lakers last night. I was really pleased with my Lakers. They look good all around. Fellas are contributing, all right? And I think they're in fourth place. They only one loss in the loss column. What did I say that right? One game behind them in the loss column. Behind Denver, they got 20 losses. Denver got 21, and Memphis got 21 losses. So they're sitting poised to jump from fourth to second at any point if they just get a go on a good run. They got a couple more games. Again, they got the Clippers coming up, a back-to-back with the Clippers. But they look good. They look really good. If they can continue that intensity, if LeBron can stay healthy, all right, if Luka can stay healthy, if the team can stay healthy, the Lakers could give you a good run. It would not be surprising to see them in the Western Conference Finals. It would not be surprising to see them in the NBA Finals. Will they win it? I don't know about that, but I would not be surprised. A lot of people have high hopes in OKC. They look really good, but this is regular season. You separate champions from contenders and men from boys when playoffs time come around. And a lot of teams look really good, really, really good in the playoffs. In the regular season, young teams, and then when the playoffs come around, it's a different story. All right? Let me know what you think about the game last night. Were you pleased with it? Did you like what you see last night? Do you think the Lakers can be contenders or are pretenders? What do you see? I looked at that Boston Celtic team yesterday. I think they won 8 in a row. They won 6 and Cleveland won 8, or they won 8 and Cleveland won 6. I can't remember. Is Cleveland are the Cavaliers the team to beat in the East? Or is it Boston Celtics? There's some interesting things happening as we go down the last 20-some games of the season. And this is going to make the NBA a little exciting this year. Because I think you're going to see a lot more jockeying for position. I like the play-in for the level that it keeps the excitement right into the end of the season. That's 7, 8, 9, 10 matchup down there. That keeps the excitement. Keeps more teams in the picture for playoff spots. It is a good move by the NBA. Not like the lousy All-Star game, but that move is not a bad move by the NBA. I like that. And we're seeing some good stuff. We're seeing some excitement at the end of the season last year, and hopefully we'll see some more this year. So they won. Lakers won 107-99. They could have beat them worse. Kyrie Irving was just a beast last night. I think he put up 35 points. And 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Luka got a triple-double, 19 points, 15 rebounds, and 12 assists. He could have scored more, but he was more of a facilitator, all right? I see the Celtics beat the Raptors 111-101. They should have beat them worse than that. The Grizzlies and the Suns played no defense last night. No defense at all. That's how they say, no defense. 151-148. Jesus Lord, that's 199 points. 299 points. That's a lot of points. But it was fun. It was fun to watch. Ja Morant is really great to watch. The Bucks lost to the Rockets 197 last night. The Pelicans finally beat somebody to beat the Spurs last night. I saw a highlight of Zion with a slam last night. He like float from the top of the from the free throw line and like he went flight. They said. And then the Warriors looking really good. they beat the Hornets 128-92 last night. So that was some exciting games to watch yesterday. Hockey is heating up, really heating up. Duke last night was all over. They embarrassed the Florida Miami Hurricanes last night, 97-60. Oh, that was an embarrassing look. They could miss fly. The freshman sensation looked really good last night. I mean, that brother plays like he got, you know, like he's been in the tanning boot long, if you know what I'm trying to say. I see Marquette beat Providence last night. Bahamians lost last night. Bahamians lost last night. Cincinnati beat them 69-67. I see Georgia beat Florida last night. That was a big upset. That's a big win for Georgia because Georgia is one of them. You know, at this time of the year, they start talking about who's in and who's out for the 60, this field of 68. So they have this last four in or first four out if they lose some games and they don't do well. Georgia did a number for themselves by beating Florida last night. They put them in a good position. I see Iowa State lost last night. Wisconsin won. Tennessee beat LSU last night. Alabama looked really good last night. Really good last night. Missouri looked good last night as well. So college basketball is heating up. It's just about done, I think. The tournament play starts next week. And the different conferences, so we'll see what happens. The SEC has a really, really good conference. And they can have as many as 13 teams. 13 teams in the tournament. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. That is wonderful to see. And we just, because I say that to say, because we look at the SEC as a football conference. Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, other teams like that in the SEC. And so we look at the SEC as a football conference, but they're fast becoming a basketball conference as well. All right, not just Kentucky, like one or two teams are in it, but you see in Alabama, who's a football powerhouse, now a basketball powerhouse. Georgia making a run. Florida, football powerhouse, now basketball. Florida, so into the basketball, but they're growing as well. So the excitement that you're seeing with the college basketball and the parity is going to be quite, and the success of some of these conferences, it's going to be interesting to see. All right, I don't know how Kansas won yesterday as well. I think that's the women in Kansas. The men didn't play. I think the men played today. If I could be correct, but we have a number of games today. No Lakers tonight. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 NBA games tonight. All the baseball spring training games are going on now. They don't play very if any night games during spring training, so they base a bunch of games going on. I don't pay attention to the scores, because if I did that, I'd be very upset. My Dodgers, I think, is 1-4 or something like that. But you don't get to see all this. Like, a lot of players are now starting to play. Freddie Freeman hasn't played yet. Yamamoto pitched today for an inning. Snell pitched yesterday for an inning. So you're just starting to see the starters get a little ramped up. So you've seen a lot of the double-A and triple-A players who are now getting a lot of playing time in spring training. Páez, the Cuban rookie from last year, the home run today. So you get to see these guys. You get to see players that you probably won't get to see regular season unless somebody gets hurt and one or two get called up. So it's an opportunity to see what the future of your team is like, the future of the Dodgers, Yankees, other teams. You get to see an opportunity if you're able to watch any of the spring training games, which are during the day. So those of us who are at work don't get to see it, but some of us got it on our phone and we sneak to watch it. So tonight we got some NBA games, college games tonight. We'll do the picks on the NBA, so we'll just talk a little bit about the college games. You got Michigan State and Maryland tonight. That should be a good game tonight. One time ago, Georgetown used to be such a powerhouse, but I don't think they've been ranked for a while, so they got Connecticut tonight. You got Notre Dame playing at Clemson tonight. You got Texas A&M, who has a really good team tonight. They're hosting Vanderbilt. Auburn is the number one team. Now, check what I said, SEC, right? Auburn up there. Georgia, Alabama, all these teams are really good, and they all SEC teams. So Auburn is hosting Ole Miss tonight. And then Kentucky, 17, another SEC team. Kentucky is really a basketball power, so we're so used to seeing them. All right. Arizona, okay, I guess that's it for them. And then you got some college women playing tonight. You've got a lot of college games, college women tonight, Loyola, VCU, St. George, Georgetown, West Virginia, Ohio State and Michigan State should be a good game. Ohio State number 12, Michigan 23. That should be a good game tonight. Oklahoma State 21, Houghton Cincinnati. That should be a good. UCLA is playing tonight. You know, they came off that loss at USC last week. So that should be some good stuff to watch. So college basketball is heating up. NBA only got about 20-some more games left, so they're starting to heat up. So I think the NBA will be done in about a month. College conference play starts next week. And tournament starts the middle of March. I think the women start a week earlier than the men or a couple days earlier than the men. So it should be some good basketball to watch. The first Major League Baseball game is on the 18th of March, so they're only 3 weeks away from that. The Dodgers and the Cubs will be in Tokyo, Japan to kick off the season. Yamamoto will pitch. Sasaki will pitch. There's one thing I saw about the Dodgers. The Korean second baseman guy, he may not make the team. Well, let me rephrase that. He may not be on the opening day lineup, all right? Because he has to get his adjustment is not moving as quickly as they thought. And they knew that they would have, so he would have to make some adjustments to Major League pitching, some adjustments to the way the Major League is played compared to the way the Korean baseball organization plays. So he's going to take a minute or two. He has the talent. He has the talent. He has the upside. It's just a matter of him adjusting, acclimatizing himself to the Major League Baseball play. So he may get a stint in AAA so that he can play every day and get a feel. Because most of the kids who are in AAA are Major League ready. Most of them are Major League ready. If you make it to AAA, you're pretty much Major League ready. So you're basically playing against second-tier Major League players in the AAA. So he'll probably get a stint in Albuquerque in the AAA, play a few games there until he gets his rhythm, gets his timing in place, and then moves up to take over second base for the Dodgers this year. So in the meantime, probably be Kiki Hernandez, Tommy Edmonds, who will play at second base until he's ready, or maybe even Chris Taylor get a couple of stints at second base until he's ready to go. But I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the combines are going on, the NFL combines are going on now. I haven't paid much attention to it. I think it heats up this weekend with the 40-yard dash and all that, so we'll get to see who's the speedsters coming out this year. But sports, it's growing. But we can take our first break. When we get back, we can talk a little more baseball, talk a little bit more basketball, and get into the picks. This is Pearly, filling in for Naughty on a Talking Heads Wednesday. We'll be right back.
Heathens do cause Rastafari by the guidance. I'll never say what they daddy just say. For Emperor Selassie I trust and obey. Rast the words of his substance. I'll never go where the pagans go. Never do what he
NRG is nutrition. Check out our world-famous smoothies, signature quinoa dishes. We have the best salad and breakfast fit for a king and his queen. Open for breakfast, lunch, and now dinner. Each order is made with love and the highest quality ingredients and is nutritionally balanced. Visit any of our three locations. Old Fort Bay, open until 7:30 p.m. West Bay Street and Gladstone Road in the Monroe's Complex, open until 4 p.m. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at NRG Bahamas. NRG, nutrition ready to go.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's. We put fashion at your feet.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
The KFC Chicken Experts have done it again with the new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich. Featuring a large 100% premium 120-gram white meat filet topped with cheddar cheese, smoky bacon, lettuce, tomato, and tangy red onions. All drizzled with ranch sauce and served on a toasted brioche bun. Choose original recipe or spicy, but don't wait. This mouth-watering masterpiece is only here for a limited time and only at your favorite KFC. The new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Bahamas, are you ready? The world is coming to Wasan for the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer World Cup Qualifiers. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium next to the Sydney Poitier Bridge. The Jungle Beach Boys, top five in CONCACAF, taking on Mexico, USA, and El Salvador. Beach party meets world-class soccer. Non-stop action, jungle rhythms, great food, and pure vibes. And it's free. Bring your crew, ring your cowbells, beat your drums, no whistles. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium. Visit BahamasFA.net for details. Bahamas Beach Soccer, pure vibes.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, hosted by Earl the Pearl, on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Not even the dogs that piss against the walls of Babylon shall escape the wrath I come to pour. And I shall burn them and burn them continuously, for they never cease to oppress the poor. Oh, plea my cause, O Jah, and let me stand firm. When the wicked rise against the eye, order my steps, O Jah. The way is dark and I'm alone, but still I fear no foe, no. 'Cause now is not the time to speak or turn the other cheek. Are the wicked in a Babylon, so ya if you're weak. Whoa.
And welcome back to a Talking Heads Wednesday here. This Pearly in the house. We got an interesting Final 15. With Colin Cowherd, he's going to talk about the Lakers' chances of winning the Super Bowl. The Lakers' chances of winning the NBA title. So that should be kind of fun to listen to. So stay tuned for that. Got some good news. Shohei Ohtani will make his spring training debut on Friday against his former team, the Angels. He'll just be a DH that day. He's not going to pitch yet. He probably won't pitch until maybe the end of April, some part of May. So you got to ramp that arm up. So that's exciting to see. And there's also an interesting rumor for you Aaron Rodgers fans that he's a huge fan of McVay, the coach of the Rams. And you know the Rams and Matthew Stafford I don't know how that's going to work out. He may leave. He may not be there. There's a possibility. There's scuttlebutt out there, a little talk out there that Aaron Rodgers could be an L.A. Ram next year. Now, I don't like that. I think the Rams would be dumb, stupid, fool, crazy, foolish, whatever word you want to use, to let Matthew Stafford go and to bring Aaron Rodgers there. You're not getting a better quarterback. Not at his age. Not at 40. You're not getting a better quarterback. You're not. You're only getting a better name. That's it. A bigger name. A well-known name. Probably an upsetter. Somebody who can cause problems. So I don't see why they would do that. I don't understand what move they're trying to make. But not only can be, you know, this time of the year, you're just getting a bunch of rumors going out, you know. You're just hearing a bunch of different things. Oh, this one going to do that. That one going to do this. So we'll wait to see. I understand the New York Giants met with Matthew Stafford's rep, so he could be a Giant now. Hey, guess what? The Giants get him? Big shot in the arm for the Giants. Big shot in the arm for the Giants if they were to sign him. All right? So that's going to be interesting to see. And then the big news coming out of the WNBA, the White Mamba, Diana Taurasio, who was a huge, huge friend of Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul. She got the nickname of the White Mamba. She retired yesterday. And she is probably the winningest She is probably the winningest female basketball player in the world. She's got like 6 Olympic titles, gold medals, which no one else will ever get. She's got number of MVPs. She's got, I think, 3 WNBA championships. She's got 3, she's got 3 NCAA championships. And I think it's 2 or 3 WNBA championships. I could be wrong. With the WNBA championships. I haven't read up on it. But she's got 6 Olympic gold medals. She's a winner. She's a great player. She played with that Mamba mentality. Her and Kobe Bryant had a really good friendship. Vanessa Bryant gave a tribute to her yesterday. It was really touching. It was really a nice tribute that Vanessa Bryant gave to her yesterday and talked about her and Kobe's friendship and how she looked at Kobe's daughter and said that that was the next real thing. But God called them away a little earlier than we expected. But WNBA has lost a star at 40 years old, playing with girls half her age. She was still handling herself. I think she's still going to go another year if she decided she wanted to. But I think she is best to go when you're on top, when you still got your game, to go when you're not being forced out. You're going when you feel, you know, when you think it's your time to go. And congratulations. She was a great player. I loved watching her play over the years. Take the ball to the hole, take you off the dribble, pull up on you, three-pointer. She was the total package when it comes to women basketball. And one of my favorite players of all time. Of course, you know, Angel Reese is taking that spot. But it was always a pleasure to watch her play. She will be missed. She will be missed on the and the courts. But I think she'll probably do a little announcing. She'll probably get picked up by ESPN or one of those networks and talk about the talk WNBA and talk women's basketball. But a great one is retired, and she will be missed on the court. But she still has a lot to offer for women's basketball. And congratulations to Diana Taurasi on her retirement. Okay, so let's get into the picks. Because we're going to be out here in a few minutes. Colin Cowherd is going to give you a nice talk about the Lakers, what he thinks about the Lakers. I think he's talking about a couple other things, not just the Lakers. I think he's talking about, he's going to talk about the Lakers' title hopes, and talk about J.J. Redick's coaching. J.J. Redick should be in the talks as coach of the year. As a rookie coach, he's done a phenomenal job at the Lakers. He's gotten LeBron to buy into what he wants to do, and he's really doing a pretty good job of coaching up the role players and the younger players. You got to love it. You really got to love what he's doing there. All right, let's get into the picks. If you do NBA today, let's take a quick look here. All right, so we've got about 8-9 games today. Dodgers getting... Oh, the Dodgers all over the Brewers, 9-3. Very good stuff, Dodgers. Okay. The Portland Trailblazers are at the Washington Wizards. Portland is a 6.5-point favorite. I like the Portland. I like Portland. I like the points. The over-under is 232. I'll go under, but I like Portland in taking that. The Boston Celtics, 4.5 points over the Detroit Pistons. This is probably going to be one of the more interesting games. Detroit always plays you tough, but I think Boston and I are really playing some good basketball right now. I understand they're getting close to playoffs. I like Boston in the points. The Toronto Raptors at the Indiana Pacers. Indiana, 12.5-point favorites. I think that's a bit steep. I like the Pacers, but I like them on the money line. I like them just to win that game. The Philadelphia 76ers at the New York Knicks. Is Embiid out? Embiid still out tonight, or is he playing? Embiid is out tonight with a knee. McCain is probably out. Towns is a game-time decision. I like the Knicks tonight. I don't like them with the money. I like them on the money line. I'm not messing with those points tonight. That's a lot. That's a whole lot. You're talking 10.5, but that's a lot. The Atlanta Hawks at the Miami Heat. I like the Heat and the points tonight. We've got the Oklahoma Thunder, 16.5-point favorites over the Brooklyn Nets. I'm going to take Oklahoma and the points tonight. Oklahoma looks really good. They look really good. When you got to prepare for one game, one team, you can look super. It's what you're going to do when it comes to a seven-game series, and that's what I think that Oklahoma is going to be a little bit susceptible to loss. The Clippers are at the Chicago Bulls. The Clippers are 8.5-point favorites. I like the Clippers and the points tonight. They're coming, beating the Lakers this weekend. It's going to be a different story then. The Sacramento Kings, 9.5-point over the Utah Jazz. You never know which Utah Jazz team you're getting. You never know which one you're getting. But I think that the Kings probably going to pull that off, and I'll take the Kings. You know what? Let's be bold. Let's take the Kings in the points tonight, 9.5. The San Antonio Spurs at the Houston Rockets. Spurs are 8.5. There's no Wemby. Wemby's out for the season. I feel for the Spurs. I thought they would have been doing a lot more. I am going to take the Rockets tonight and the points. 8.5. I think the Rockets could do that tonight. Without Wemby, they're just not the same team. Since we got a couple more minutes, let's take another look at, let's see what NBA players tonight. Like I said, you got Michigan State and Maryland. Maryland's a 3.5-point favorite. I like Michigan State, and I'm going to take Michigan State and the points tonight. Clemson is hosting Notre Dame, 14.5 points. Notre Dame, they embarrass you. I'm going to take Clemson tonight, and I'll take Clemson in the points tonight. Texas A&M, 7.5 points over Vanderbilt. I'll take Texas A&M and the points tonight. Auburn, number one team, and Ole Miss. I like Auburn to blow Ole Miss out of the gym tonight. I'll take Auburn and the points. Memphis at Rice. Rice at Memphis. Rice just there. I'll take Memphis and the points tonight as well. Okay, and then finally, you get Kentucky at Oklahoma, 2.5. I'll take Kentucky and the points tonight as well. It's great just throwing a little relief work in for Naughty today. I'll be in tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We're going to have an interesting show tomorrow. I look forward to hearing from you, seeing you tomorrow. Thank you for the calls, the texts. Thank you for listening. It's been a Talking Heads Wednesday with Pearly filling in for Naughty for the back half on here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Be safe out there.
Cross the Paragi by the guidance. I'll never say what the wicked heart say. Neither will I walk in the council, no day. All the eyes be no guys. So mythology and illusion, I'll be always burning. Corruption and confusion will be.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply, starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a rule. Felt, £15, £16.50, £30, £19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes, treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half-inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Get to stacking up the flavor at Burger King NASA with its new Stacker King lineup. It doesn't get any bigger, better, or meatier than the Stacker Kings, which feature bacon, cheese, and a delicious stacker sauce, all piled on as many flame-grilled Whopper patties as you can handle. For the chicken lovers, try the all-new crispy chicken stacker, or pile your mornings high with a croissant sandwich stacker loaded with meat, cheese, and stacker sauce on a warm, flaky croissant. Don't miss out on the bold flavors of the Stacker King collection, available at Burger King NASA.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, hosted by Earl the Pearl, on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Not even the dogs that piss against the walls of Babylon shall escape the wrath I come to pour. And I shall burn them and burn them continuously, for they never cease to oppress the poor. Oh, plea my cause, oh, Jah.
And with that, Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times is joining us in studio, and I so appreciate this. I text a friend. Maverick Carter's a friend. Mm-hmm. You know Maverick. Maverick's underneath the basket. About once a year, he gives me his tickets. So Maverick Carter, a really good guy, and was a high school teammate of LeBron. And I said, I don't even know what I watched last night in the fourth quarter. I'm like, that was insane. The energy was palpable.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, not that he's, like, conserving it, but I do feel like LeBron at sometimes felt like, man, I would like to let somebody else run the show a little bit and play off ball. Does it feel different to you in the last 5 or 6 games?
I think it's an interesting question, Colin. Like, I think that there was a time, right, where we heard about the torch being passed, right, or wanting help. He wants help playmaking and stuff. But then when it came, like, time to actually do it, he didn't. And I think part of that was because he was always the best option.
Yes.
Right? It's always like the ball and LeBron, it's kind of sometimes why he's been hard to coach, is that what better play is it than give LeBron James the ball?
Think about this, Dan. In Cleveland, as great and skillful as Kyrie was, he ended up being an off guard a lot. And I would argue Kyrie is as skilled as any player I've ever seen with the ball in his hands.
He's incredible. And he was great last night, too.
Yeah. So I think your point is, this is a little bit of LeBron saying, okay, I've met my equal at initiating offense.
He said something this year, you know, being around him now basically every day since he's been in Los Angeles, by and large. I've never heard him hear him say that somebody is better than him at stuff. Like, that's just not what he's, that's not how he's built. He said, Luka Doncic does the same stuff as me and some of it even better. And I think at this stage in his career, having somebody who can do that, it does sort of shift LeBron into, I call it like Olympics LeBron.
Like
the version of him we saw in Paris where you're controlling the game, but maybe you don't have the ball all the time. Like you're doing all of these little things.
He's such a great comes
down. Yeah, he's such a basketball savant. He's so smart at finding ways to matter and ways to like make differences in games. And yeah, it's on the offensive end. That clip of JJ, that was a question I asked him post-game about LeBron's defense. Like the last 6 weeks or so defensively, like LeBron has been excellent. And they've been good with Anthony Davis. They've been good when Anthony Davis was hurt.
Their last 19 games are the best defensive team in the league. Now, here's the question, though. And I had said this for years about Carmelo Anthony. He'd score 29, he'd give up 22.
Mm-hmm. Well, that still works.
No, it's still plus seven. Do you worry, though, that Reeves, LeBron, the Lakers do feel a little top-heavy.
Yeah.
Reeves, LeBron, Luka, all playmakers. Mavs have one, but the Mavs have size. That Mark Williams trade, I thought, would have made a real difference. Do you worry that Luka's defense will eventually be a liability?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not a perfect team in any real way. I think the things they're great at, And that gives you a chance in this league, right? If you can manipulate the game in the way where your strengths mask your weaknesses, and I think the way the Lakers have been masking their defensive weaknesses has been with overall team effort. You know, this is a group that has played incredibly hard. You know, Austin Reeves is a really smart defender, even though he has some athletic limitations.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic is huge.
Yeah.
He's a big player, and he gets into passing lanes. He creates turnovers. Now, does he get beat off the dribble? Sure, it happens. But when he's engaged, like, I mean, you know, forget last night's game for a minute. Let's talk about Saturday in Denver, you know, where they win by 23, masterful defensive game plan against a team they haven't been able to solve. Luka didn't look like, you know, a negative defender in that game. And I think at times when he's been engaged, he's been a pretty good defender.
He's actually a very good rebounder when he wants to. Last night in the first half. Yeah, like Luka's one of those guys that, and LeBron's got a little bit of this. Magic Johnson was good at this. Magic, we need you to play center and score 42. Like Luka, when you ask him to be around the basket, he is a big, thick body. He can clean the glass. I mean, last night's first half, I think he had like 10 rebounds at half.
Yeah, and I know we'll get to the Warriors in a minute, but I do think when you have great players that are also smart players,
yeah,
it just helps this process move along much quicker than it might otherwise, right? Like, we'll see with this Lakers group. I think to your point about LeBron, like there is sort of a, you know, when this trade first happened, there was a feeling around the organization that like this, the Lakers have been provided an off-ramp, right? That they can move now in this direction where they don't need LeBron James the same way they needed him 6 weeks ago. They have a future. I think what they're seeing now is like the immediate future is maybe even more Luka and LeBron than they realized. Should LeBron want to do it? And we'll see how long he wants to do this. But they have real chances. It feels like they have a real chance this year.
Yeah.
I think with an offseason to like perfectly architect the roster around the guys that you have and the core that you have, certainly will have a chance there. And they're also catching Luka Doncic at like sort of the perfect time.
You know, it's funny. When J.J. Redick got the job, I had heard this about Redick. He's very arrogant. He went to Duke. And my take is I am okay with arrogance as long as it's accompanied with self-awareness. J.J.'s got both. J.J.'s a very good-looking, very confident. I mean, he's made a lot of money. He's been very successful. He's also got self-awareness. He can laugh at himself. He knows when he's over the top. I think if you go look at LeBron's history, even if he doesn't always agree with Eric Spoelstra, he respects his IQ, right? Mm-hmm. He respects, and I really do believe he respects Ty Lue. There is something about J.J. Redick is that I think this job the Lakers job has engulfed certain coaches. They didn't have enough like arrogance. They didn't have enough confidence. A little Darvin Ham sometimes felt I got a little engulfed by it. I think JJ, when I watch him, like he's absolutely sure his way is right. And for the record, so far it has been.
I think the thing with JJ, and you mentioned arrogance, and that's a word that comes up with him a lot.
Yeah.
It's certainly the first impression. It's also paired with open-mindedness.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is a unique combination. You know, usually, like, people who are arrogant believe their way is the best because
right.
It's their way, not necessarily because it's a way they've cultivated through conversations with, you know, everybody from the guy who, you know, sells him his pomade to, like, you know, whoever. Like, if you've got a good basketball idea, like,
yeah.
J.J. Redick will listen to it.
Like, yep.
That's the reality of it. I think coaching is really hard to judge, generally speaking, you know, being there night in, night out. It's not always the showiest thing because players do what they do.
Yeah.
Basketball is very free-flowing. I think the things that I'm hearing behind the scenes, things about, you know, communication, like making sure that you're touching base with players on a very regular basis, like following his gut, his instincts.
And he's an authentic, J.J. Redick is a very authentic guy.
Correct.
And so
very direct.
Yeah.
He's very direct.
Like, but he's not curt. He's direct without being mean-spirited. He'll tell you exactly what he feels, but he says it with a smile. He says it like, hey, man, this is what I believe. I just think J.J. Redick, there was some concern. He's a podcaster. He absolutely feels big enough for the job.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way that I've kind of settled on this with him is that if you look at, you know, you'll say he didn't have enough experience, right? Well, like, if the most important part of being an NBA coach is relating to your players, right? And I believe that to be mostly true. You know, he was a star among stars as a college basketball player, right? Like, biggest in the country, you know, a total villain in a way that very few people are. He was a rookie who couldn't crack a rotation and had to sit on the end of a bench of a contender. He was a ascending player, like, looking for a bigger role. He was a starter. He was then a vet. And then he was a guy whose body had quit. Like, he's basically lived every basketball NBA life in the course of his career.
You know what I remember about him as a player beyond shooting in Duke? Before Steph Curry became a star, I'd never seen a player work harder off the ball.
Yeah.
He was a cardio machine. If you guarded J.J. Redick, you had to chase him around the floor.
System unto himself.
Yep. All right, I want to talk about Jimmy Butler. So I read a couple of stories before Jimmy Butler and the Warriors happened. And there were analytic people that said, you know, I don't know if it works.
Not enough shooting. Yeah.
And my take was, no, he's the anti-Wiggins. He's intentional on every possession. He plays with intensity that you know when he's on the floor. He's never lost. I don't think he will rub Draymond the wrong way because Draymond calls out people who often need to be called out. Jimmy doesn't. In fact, you could say scale it down. This, to me, I felt his EQ and his IQ. I'm like, just get him in this system. It'll work. And I don't know what the analytics say. It has. Are you a little surprised it's worked this well?
No. I think that, you know, you touched on two of the things. I think EQ in the NBA is a thing that you hear a lot now. Like emotional intelligence, like how do you fit in these systems? And I think, you know, Jimmy is so competitive. And you put him in an environment where competition has thrived, right? Like this is a group that has won at the highest level and they've done it in back-to-back seasons as a core and Steph and Draymond and Steve Kerr. To do that, you have to have just this incredible competitive endurance. You can't do it otherwise. It's too hard. And so I think he fits in that. I think that they are a very mature team when it comes to their culture. So, like, it can handle personalities. It's not foreign to them at all. And I think that, you know, like I said before with, like, LeBron and Luka and Austin Reeves to a degree, you just tend to trust smart players, right? Like,
right.
Figured out guys. And Jimmy Butler is a figured out guy. He hasn't been a good shooter since he's been in the NBA. It hasn't stopped him from winning. Like, it really hasn't. It's not like, you know, his athleticism has changed. Like, it hasn't stopped him. Like, his availability and stuff like that, and Miami had their reasons for moving on, and Jimmy had his reasons for wanting to be out too.
He wanted a lot of years and a lot of money, and that wasn't going to
exactly,
work.
Exactly, totally. But I think in this situation for a team like Golden State, right, like, I think, similar to the Lakers, there was a feeling that there's an opportunity here in the Western Conference. There is a lurking giant, literally, yes. In Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio, right? Like, assuming he'll recover and stuff like that. You have the Oklahoma City Thunder, who... if it's not this year, will be soon. That roster is built to win and built to win for a long time. But right now, there's a feeling that there's a chance to be had when you talk to teams around the West.
I don't think Houston's going to shoot well enough. I think in situational basketball, Houston will come up basket shy.
Sure.
They'll have the athleticism. They can defend. They can
toughness.
Play. But they're not a shooting team. And you tighten people up in a playoff game. And I think Oklahoma City also feels like, to me, they're a year away. And they're going to be looking for buckets outside of SGA. And if you can lock him down, again, these playoff, when I play a team seven times, and we're all equally rested, Warriors, Lakers, these older teams, Denver, I think the Warriors, I mean, if I said to you right now, OKC ends up with Golden State.
I mean, I think I would lean Thunder, but it's close, much closer than a 1-8 should be.
Yep.
And I think, it's because of the experience. It's because of, you know, we've just seen it so many times with these groups. Golden State can match some of their physicality now with Jimmy Butler. They don't have the size. They're gonna be hurt against teams that have size. Right. And that's what's interesting about the West is, like, there's also all these just, like, really unique matchups. There are teams that are coming at this in very different ways. And I think, you know, Minnesota is going to be coming here. They're getting better. Getting healthier at the right time, playing defense. I know Chris Finch is a little happier about where they've been defensively. Just had a huge win in Oklahoma City themselves. I think all of these teams can look at themselves in the mirror, like six or seven teams, like credibly, Memphis, and say, like, the time is now for us. Yeah. Like, Memphis has been, you know, kind of at the doorstep a bunch of times. Like, are they really ready to win now? Like, we'll find out. I think it's going to be a really good playoff.
So it's interesting. There are teams that I think that are very authentic, and you know exactly what they are. And I'll tell you why the Knicks are this. Mm-hmm. The Cavs and the Celtics are very good pick-and-roll teams, and the Knicks can't defend it. Karl Anthony Towns is a brilliant offensive player. He's really skilled. Chris Finch told me yesterday, he goes, I knew he was good, then I coached him, and it's yeah. like, he is so good. He can't defend the pick-and-roll. Brunson's not great at it, and Cleveland is so efficient that I just think when you look at the Knicks, I think they're a step away. I think Karl Anthony Towns gets them to a place offensively. They get off of Julius Randle. He makes them a better offensive team. But I think when you look at the Knicks, they are absolutely not built. They're not constructed to beat the Cavs and the Celtics. They just can't defend them.
Well, you know, they've struggled against good teams this year. I think defensively, they've really struggled against good teams.
Yep.
And there's a disconnect, right? Because you have such a defensive-minded head coach. You have the type of, you know, your coaches and your best players are what drive your identity. And, like, it does feel like their identities are moving in different directions.
That's right.
They're better offensively. They're a terrific offensive team with a top-tier defensive coach. And I think you'd want a little more alignment there in a perfect world. it feels a little bit like an overcorrection. We'll see what happens if they're able to get Mitchell Robinson back and, like, can get him into shape and playing. Like, will that
That'll help?
It'll help some. But it just feels like at their core, who they are is a team that's going to outscore you and that they have to outscore you. And when you have put time and money and assets into players like OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart, guys that are there largely to make sure it's hard for the other team to score, you would like to see that sort of personality kind of permeate the entire roster the way it just, quite frankly, you know, it doesn't. Like the night of the Luka Doncic trade, right? Like this feels like ancient history now. Like the Lakers without Anthony Davis, like had no problems with Karl Towns because he was 24 feet away from the basket
right.
all game, right? And they didn't exploit their size advantages. They didn't exploit their toughness advantages in that game. And that's been kind of a recurring theme against teams that can spread them out. And Cleveland and Boston are going to spread you out. Like, that is what they do. And they're going to put Karl Towns into rotations. They're going to make them scramble. And, you know, it's hard if one of your best players is, you know, one of your biggest weaknesses on the defensive end.
Finally, let's wrap it up. Let's pivot back to the Lakers. It's one thing to cover a player. It's another thing to see a player occasionally. When you're around Luka,
mm-hmm.
you're at practice with Luka, you're in the locker room with Luka, what is he like to cover? Is there a joyfulness around him? Because it seems like he's bringing that out of LeBron.
I think for him right now, there's still shock. He's still somebody who is dealing with the emotional baggage from this trade.
I thought last night at the end of the game, he looked a little shot.
He was exhausted last night. Like, Colin, do you know what that game reminded me of a little bit? Do you remember doing, like, the presidential fitness testing when you were a kid? Like, where
yes,
you'd have to...
Yes.
That game went out way too fast in lap one of the mile. It was, like, you know, just this horrible cramp after the first quarter. It was so much emotion expended in that game. And then it kind of sputtered to the finish before LeBron was able to really pull it through. I think big picture, Luka being around LeBron can have just as much for Luka as it does for LeBron in terms of what it takes day in, day out to have your body ready to play at a consistent level, you know, what it takes to make others great. Obviously, Luka knows how to do all that stuff, but seeing that and seeing a player that he's loved since he was 13, 14 years old.
He's a really giving down-court passer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's different from when he drives and dishes because there's an immediate payoff. But when you pass the ball down the floor, you're often eliminating yourself from the play.
Sure.
You're taking yourself out. And a lot of guys, LeBron's always been great at that. Not all offensive players are. They kind of want to bring the ball up.
It's LeBron, Luka, and Jokic are the three best at it. And the Lakers have two of them.
It's incredible to watch him. He is the classic quarterback in this league.
Mm-hmm. And LeBron said the other day, right? Like, LeBron said he's built to be a receiver. We can argue about whether he can do both, certainly. But I think the biggest thing that I've seen being around Luka right now, right, is, like, there is somebody who has a fire and wants to prove Dallas wrong. Like, you can see that. Like, he is carrying scar tissue from this trade.